Hello, I'm Nick Floyd, Senior Pastor of Cross Church. I want to thank you for tuning into our weekly broadcast today. You know, Cross Church is a faith family that is passionate about sharing the love of Christ with the people of Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world. And through this weekly broadcast, Cross Church is able to share a time of praise and worship, as well as a time of studying God's Word with people from all walks of life. I want to thank you today again for tuning in, and please know that the entire Cross Church congregation and I invite you to join us in person at one of our four regional campuses. Come be a part of our friendly, compassionate family known as Cross Church. So if you would, go to crosschurch.com to learn more about our church, and we hope that you'll join us very soon. Good morning, church. Today we wrap up our summer series called Keep the Mission High. I want you to grab your Bible and open it to the final chapter of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I hope and pray that the things we've learned from this great book of the Bible would stay with you and have a major impact upon your life from this point forward. Now, just to remind you and recap where we've been this summer as we've talked through the book of 1 Corinthians, we've dealt with everything from division in your life to sin, unforgiveness, preference, idolatry, and even isolation, all within a local church context. As we've been saying, in all reality, these things are not just church things. These are personal things about your life that ultimately do overflow into the life of the church. And so the call all summer long has been to keep the mission high, higher than all of these things and these certain sins that creep in and ultimately disrupt the life and movement of the church, as well as your own personal life. As we close this series today, we're going to deal with a topic that every single one of us has to wrestle with in our own hearts. That is the issue of greed. Now, you may think to yourself, Nick, I'm not a person who struggles with greed. Probably all of us would say that about our own lives. But as I've observed my own heart over the last 35 years, and I've ministered to people over the last 14 years in full-time ministry, I can say that this is one of those issues that is not just dealt with at one specific moment in our lives, and then it's over and we never have to deal with it again. This is something we got to wrestle with again and again and again to make sure we are where the Lord is asking us to be. What the Apostle Paul is going to lay out today in our passage is a description of an ordinary practice in the lives of these New Testament believers. The idea of giving to the Lord through their church is not something done under pressure. It's not something that they have to do because they simply have to, or it's not even something that they are to do begrudgingly. This was to be a normal part of a Christian's life. This was not something that only the wealthy people had to do or only the poor people had to do. This was the call to win the battle over greed through this thing called generosity. Generosity is the way that you overcome greed in your life. We often talk about God and what He calls us to do with our money as an issue of stewardship. You've probably heard that word before, the word stewardship. That really is an appropriate way to say it. I'm not an owner of my money. I'm not an owner of my possessions, but God is. I am simply a steward while on this earth. You know, you never see a U-Haul attached to the back of a hearse. You and I can't take our stuff with us when we die, but through generosity, we can have a lasting impact upon the people around us. Now, today at Pinnacle Hills, you're going to hear from our small groups pastor, Chris Plunkett. For several years, he has led our young adult ministry, and recently we have elevated him to give him greater responsibility in the area of discipleship here at Pinnacle Hills. Many of you know and love Chris and Carrie. He's a faithful man of God, a vital piece of our Pinnacle Hills team here. And would you help me now give a very strong Pinnacle Hills welcome to the man of the hour, Chris Plunkett.
Good morning. Good morning. If you haven't already, I would invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We're going to look at the first two verses of this awesome book and bring conclusion to our series that we've been in this summer. Now, if I'm just being honest with you, if you're a lot like me, I would suggest that there are a lot of topics in the Bible that we run to. But I would also surmise that it might be that we're tempted to avoid the one we're going to talk about today, which is money. Like, we run to verses like, say, hope or mercy or God's grace. But then we have the tendency to maybe a little bit of a stiff arm towards verses about giving or generosity or greed or any other topic that would be connected to money. In Tim Keller's book, Counterfeit Gods, Tim is a pastor and author that I'm a big fan of. And in his book, Counterfeit Gods, he references this tension that exists frequently in our lives as it relates to the topic of greed in particular. Look at these words on the screen. He says this, "Some years ago, I was doing a 7-part series of talks on the 7 deadly sins at a men's breakfast. My wife, Kathy, told me, 'I'll bet that this week, or that the week that you deal with greed, you will have your lowest attendance.' And she was right. People packed it out for lust and wrath, excuse me, and even for pride. But nobody thinks that they're greedy. As a pastor, I've had people come to me to confess that they struggle with almost every kind of sin. Almost. I can't recall anyone ever coming to me and saying, 'I spend too much money on myself. I think my greedy lust for money is harming my family, my soul, and people around me.'" Then he says this, "Greed hides itself from the victim. The money God's modus operandi includes blindness to your own heart." Man, isn't that true? Like, money or greed in particular is one of those issues, one of those topics. Actually, it's one of those sins that lurks just beneath the surface of our hearts. Like Nick said in the intro video, it's not one of those issues that we deal with and move on from. It's sort of this ongoing kind of issue we got to keep an eye on because it kind of lurks. And so that's what we're going to kind of talk about today is how can we lean in together and battle greed in our life that we might be more generous. And actually, our key point today is really that we battle greed through intentional generosity. And so turn with me, if you haven't already, to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and let's look at these first two verses together this morning. Now, Paul is writing this book to a particular church, and he writes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, these words. "Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up, as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come." Would you bow with me? Let's pray before we continue. Father, we thank you this morning to be able to gather together with our brothers and sisters in Christ and those who are here who are leaning into Jesus for the first time, maybe. God, I pray that you would just draw us all together by the presence and power of your Holy Spirit. And God, would you help us to see that which you want us to see today, the greed that might be lurking beneath the surface of our hearts. Give us ears to hear what you want to speak into our lives today. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, before we jump into 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I want to actually pause there and look back at 1 Corinthians 15. Because it's really, really important to understand what Paul's doing in 15 to sort of set up the heartbeat, if you will, of chapter 16. In chapter 15, Paul has been spending, he spends the entire chapter talking about resurrection hope. How many of you have hope because of the resurrection? Amen? And he spends this entire chapter sort of reminding these believers in the Corinthian church that Jesus is indeed resurrected. And because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have gospel hope. We have resurrection hope. And he's reminding them of this reality of who they are in Christ and the promises that will soon be theirs upon his return. He's reminding them of this truth because he wants them to be compelled to be faithful and to live more faithfully in the meantime, kind of having an eye on the day and then another eye on the coming reality that is ours in Christ. It's with this kind of passion and this kind of hope and this kind of compulsion that Paul then turns to 1 Corinthians 16 and begins to write these more practical words to the church. So let's look at them together this morning. Verse 1, Paul writes, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do." So let me give you context as to what's happening here. Jerusalem, through much of the New Testament, as a city, is a city very familiar with poverty for lots of different reasons. It's overcrowded. In addition to that, for the church, or for the Christians, and just really for Jerusalem itself, they are coming out of a really severe famine. So there is serious need in the city of Jerusalem. And Paul is, what Paul is trying to do here is direct the efforts of the church to aid the need of the believers of Jesus in Jerusalem, the church in Jerusalem. And so he writes to this church for that purpose. But he also makes a very interesting note here that he says, hey, this isn't just for you. Like, I'm not just asking you, the Corinthian church, to participate in this. I've actually asked several other churches, and he references that in other books that he's written. But even in verse 1, he says, I'm also including the churches in Galatia to be a part of this effort. So you're not the only ones I'm asking to give toward this need. I've asked others to join us in that effort. And I look at verse 2 as he gets a little bit more practical. Verse 2, he says, on the first day of each week, of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up. As he may prosper, so there will be no collecting when I come. If you underline or write in your Bible, I want you to underline this phrase here, the first day. This is an important phrase. And we're going to look at a few important phrases in this verse. What Paul is trying to teach us here by talking about this first day here, a couple of things. Number one, it's an implication or indication that the church was gathering for worship as we are on the first day of the week. But beyond that, Paul is trying to remind them, or he's installing, if you will, this concept of giving in the regular part of the church. Like Paul says that when we gather together on the first day of the week for worship, a regular part of our worship services ought to include a time of giving. So for us here at Cross Church, we do this. And the giving piece of our service on Sunday mornings isn't just kind of bookended by worship. Like a lot of times we think the music portion is worship. Yes, okay, I get that. And then a lot of times we think when we open God's word and study it, that's worship. But in between, we do some other stuff. But Paul is saying, listen, the stuff that happens in between those two points for us here in the flow of our service, the giving and welcome portion, like that is an act of worship. It's a part of what we do. It should be a regular part of what the church does when we gather together for worship. But here's where it gets even more practical for us as individuals. He's not just talking about the church specifically or collectively. He's talking about you and me individually. Paul's saying, listen, it ought to be a regular part of our life as Christians to be givers. It ought to be a regular outworking of our life to be intentional with giving in the church. Like church, our giving shouldn't be sporadic. It shouldn't only come up when people make a plea for a particular cause, as Paul's doing here in this particular situation regarding the church in Jerusalem. So that's the first thing I want you to see here, is that for us as believers, giving ought to be a regular part of our life, as it's a regular part of our worship services here in the church. Look at the next phrase I want you to pay close attention to is three words. It's each of you. Each of you. You notice here that Paul doesn't single anybody out about this offering, right? Paul doesn't say, hey, the wealthy people, if all the wealthy people in the church would come together and give to this end, that'd be great. But neither does he suggest here in the text that, hey, if you have this spiritual gift of giving, maybe y'all could meet after church and I could talk to you about the needs in Jerusalem and then you can give to that cause. But he doesn't say that, does he? What does he say? He says, each of you, like turn to the person, look who's on your left and look who's on your right. That's a part of each of you. Like all of us together collectively are called to become regular givers, and it doesn't matter how much you have or don't have, it's supposed to be a part of your individual walk with Jesus. This is a John MacArthur calls this an all-inclusive opportunity to give. An all-inclusive opportunity to give. Can I say it? Maybe the Spirit wants me to say it.
Chris broke the church, but we're getting there.
That's the enemy trying to move right here, people. That's the enemy trying to move right here. All right, here's the deal. Let's pick up my favorite part. The all-inclusive part. That's for all of us. Everybody in the room is to participate in this call to give. It doesn't say how much money you have or how much money you don't have. Listen, I want you to think about, Nick started this by talking about stewardship. And I want you to think about stewardship maybe in this way. That this is not maybe the case for everybody in here, but I'm venturing to guess that a lot of you dropped off your kids in preschool ministry or in children's ministry when you came in this morning. And in so doing, you are entrusting your blessings, your assets, your pride and joy, if you will, into the care of our volunteers and our staff team in those two areas, right? That's stewardship. Like, you're taking what's very precious to you and you're giving, you're handing it off to another person. And in so doing, you're hoping that they would, at the very least, treat them the way you would treat them. But in many cases, we expect and hope that they'll take better care of our kids than we would. Amen. That's stewardship. And so what Paul is telling us here by this each of you piece is, listen, each and every one of you are stewards. Everything that you have is given to you by God. And our calling is to take that which we are given, however much it is and whatever it is, and to ask ourselves, are we being faithful stewards with those resources to the honor and glory of God? So the heartbeat behind this idea of generosity and giving, it has nothing to do with how much you have or how much you don't have. It's all inclusive. We're all on the hook to be participants in this. And don't look at it like that, on the hook. It's an opportunity to give and to be a part of what God is doing. And we ought to be giving and acting out or participating in this regularly. Notice here another really great phrase in this verse 2, he says, give as God prospers you. This is a really key phrase. Give as God prospers you. Like, what Paul is saying here is, listen, for some of you, God's given a lot. For some of you, God has given a lot. And so for those who have been given a lot, then you ought to give out of that. Amen? But the flip side is that, thank you, Justin. The flip side of that is this, that if you haven't been given a lot, hey, you're still responsible to be a good steward with that which you've been given. So that's what it means that our giving ought to match how we are prospering. So Carrie and I, just an insight into our life, like over the past several years, like we've been faithful tithers for a long time, but over the last several years, when God has just continued to bless us and provide for us and take care of us, we have, because we want to give as we prosper, we have taken steps of faith into greater levels of giving because we want to continue to be good stewards as God prospers us. Proverbs chapter 3, I think it's verses 8 and 9, are a great reminder for us. And those verses say this. They call us to, quote, honor the Lord with our giving. Honor the Lord with your giving. Now, remember how we started this message. We started from the quote by Dr. Timothy Keller, talking about the sneakiness of greed and how it can have its grip on us and we might not even know it because, like, we have the skill sometimes, right, to identify in other people. But we certainly don't see it in our lives. And so what I want to do here for just a few minutes here is I want to kind of take a spotlight, if you will, and I want to shine it on to the topic of greed for just a minute and kind of look and compare and contrast what it looks like compared to generosity. So let's do that. Look at this, or not, you don't look at it, but listen to what I'm going to read to you here. Greed is about grasping, craving, and acquiring. Here's a visual illustration. Imagine with me in your mind, you're taking your kid down the toy aisle at any department store. Amen? Grandparents, maybe? Taking them down those aisles, and they're like greed and grasp and look and this and that kind of stuff. I'm going to tell you a really quick story out of my personal life, my life. But I got to say, you got to promise not to tell my kids I'm going to tell you this. Okay? God's, you know, kind of raise your hand thing. We're in the church. So it's just between us. A couple of years ago, my awesome kids and my wife went to, like, one of the department stores in the area. And Carrie gave each of them, I think, like $10 or something. And they wanted to buy their own gift for Dad for, like, Father's Day. And so Carrie gave them the $10 each. One of them, I'm not going to say who, one of the two that I have looked at Carrie and said, okay, wait, so $10. So if I can spend three, does that mean if I find a gift for $3, does that mean I get to keep the seven? You see, greed is really easy to identify in other people, especially kids. But it's really hard to see in our own life. So greed is grasping and craving and acquiring. But listen to this. Generosity is about giving, charity, and blessing. See, greed puts the focus on self, like me and mine and more. Me, mine, more. But generosity shifts our focus toward God and others. Generosity says, I want to think beyond myself and consider what God would want me to do in the lives of other people, especially our church. You see, greed thinks about what we deserve. Like, I deserve this. It's been a while. I deserve this. I've been through this lately, so I deserve this. But generosity thinks more along the lines of, how can I be a blessing to other people? I saw an image on Instagram, I think it might have been a couple of years ago. And the quote with this image says this: let's be a fountain and not a drain. And isn't that perfectly in fitting with what we're talking about today? Like, when it comes to greed or generosity, when God gives us whatever it is that he decides to give us, what he's calling us to in the area of stewardship and generosity is to take that and in part be a fountain and not be a drain where all of it just ends with us and our needs and what we deserve. A lot of times, greed exists in our life because of fear. Right? Sometimes we are not generous, but we're greedy because we have fear. We are afraid of missing out on an opportunity. Well, what if this happens? What if this comes my way and I'm not prepared for it? And so we hold back, because we're afraid we're going to miss an opportunity. Another thing might be that we're afraid that we're going to get ourselves into a bind and something's going to happen and we don't know the future, and so we need to be prepared, and so we're not generous, we're greedy because of fear about the future. But both of those fears are really rooted in a fear of whether we really believe that God will provide for our future. You see, generosity makes God big in our lives, and it pushes us a little bit to the periphery. But greed makes us big, and God sort of gets pushed to the periphery. Remember again when I said at the beginning that it's so sneaky, greed is. It can have its grips on us and we don't even know it. Sometimes, listen to this, sometimes greed shows up in our lives by another name. Sometimes greed shows up under the cover of an alias, and that alias is the word need. I have these needs. If you were to walk up to my kids, and really any kid, your kid too, okay? Don't you think it's just about my kids. This is your kids too. I would venture a guess, and probably at no matter age, if you were to walk up to them and say, hey, what are your needs? I know my kids have a need list longer than they are tall. But the truth is, and I'm thankful for this, my kids have no concept of need. They think they do, but they really don't. Like, my kids have never experienced, and I'm thankful for this, my kids have never experienced the need that the Jerusalem church is facing in Jerusalem. Famine, poverty. And so sometimes greed shows up in our lives sort of with a mustache and fake glasses on, sort of pretending to be a need, but it's really not. Remember last fall, Dave Ramsey came and visited us and spoke on a Sunday morning up here, and we launched Financial Peace University in all of our small groups across all of our campuses, and many of you I know participated in that. And one of the things that he said I thought was really, really funny and fitting for this sermon today talks about when he's making a reference toward how we are so greedy for things, we don't have need, we have greed, and that we're driven to get those things at the expense of our own financial future. When we don't have the cash for it, we have the credit for it. And he says this quote on the screen. It says, we buy things, he says, we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't even like. Isn't that true? Like, there are things in my life, they are not needs. They're actually greeds with an alias going with another name, just like my kids have a long list of things that they need. And we leverage and do all kinds of harmful things to get the things that we think we need, but we really don't. So if we're honest with us, if you're honest with yourself this morning, some of you need to lean into the needs in your life and check the mustache to see if it's real. Because it might not really be a need after all. Now, I want to be really clear this morning. Now, I always feel like that's weird to say as if I didn't want to be clear earlier, but now I really want to be clear, okay? So if that didn't make any sense, that's okay, because now I'm going to be clear. If you have a nice house, and you have a nice truck, and you've got a nice retirement plan, like, that doesn't mean that you're greedy. That doesn't mean that you're greedy. See, greed isn't what you have so much as what has you. It's not a sin to have money, but it is a sin for money to have a hold on you. Paul says this in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, when he says, quote, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It's through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. You see, Paul says it's not money that's evil. Like, money is an instrument. Money is a tool. It's a resource to be used. What's evil about money is the greed and the craving that attaches itself to it and makes us do all kinds of crazy things. And I just tell you this, two things that you need to walk away with from this sermon today. At least two things. Here's the first one. God has more for you then greed will ever provide for you. God has more in store for you than greed will ever provide for you. Number two, the other kind of key thing you need to walk away with here is this. The way that we kill or get rid of or kick greed out of our life one day at a time is by practicing generosity regularly and intentionally in our lives. As we draw this to conclusion this morning, I want to do so by giving you two really practical steps to take to move forward in this attack on greed as it shows up in your life. Here's the first one. Number one is this: each of us should give regularly. Each of us should give regularly. Like our giving and generosity should be a willing and intentional act of worship in our lives. It's a demonstration of our devotion to Christ. It's a, yes, Lord, I want to be faithful with what you've given me in the here and the now, because I have an eye and I know what's ahead of me in the future. And I want to sow, and I want to use my money and my funds through the act of stewardship to be a part of what you're doing in the world. You think about what your giving goes to here at Cross Church. Like, we show you every week this Cross Church Today video to let you in on just all that's going on at Cross Church. We're a big church. We got lots of stuff going on, and we want to make sure that you know what God's up to. So you've seen in our video this morning or over the summer that it's through your giving, through giving of your tithes and your offerings, which is money above your tithe, out of a heart of generosity, you have seen hundreds of people, kids and adults of all ages, come forward and take a step of believer's baptism. It's through your giving that we have seen, as Adam suggested and talked about so perfectly earlier, through your giving, we've seen kids step forward and into a relationship with Jesus Christ through our vacation Bible schools across all of our campuses and our high school camps and middle school camps and children's camps and all the camps that we've had this summer. But it's not just that. Like, through your giving, we've seen missions and missionaries and trips go all over the world and all over our country this summer. I'm going to show you a picture of some of my friends. When you give to Cross Church, you give to the Southern Baptist Convention, the Cooperative Program. One of the keys of that is to give to missionaries serving overseas, in addition to those serving stateside. This is a friend of mine who serves in the Middle East. We were talking this past weekend, and he was saying, "Hey, we just led a marriage conference for a little retreat for 40 new Christians from a refugee camp," and then he sent me this picture of him working really hard. And then a beautiful little kid. But my point is all in all that is that's what your giving is going to. That's what you're contributing to. When you're generous and you're giving faithfully, you're getting to see some pretty amazing things happen that God does more above and beyond what we could ever imagine. So my question here for all of us today is this, really, is are you giving regularly to the kingdom work that is Cross Church, or that happens through the ministries of Cross Church? Here's my second concluding point here is this. So not only should you be a regular giver, but number two, each of us should be giving as we prosper. Like, our generosity should be in proportion at the very least to what God has given to us. I think it's amazing that in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul commends the Macedonian church for two reasons. Number one, he says that a lot of them were giving according to their means. But then right after that, he says this. He says a lot of those Macedonian believers were giving above their means because of the grace of God that had happened in their midst and in their lives. This has been a practice in my life with Carrie. I alluded to this earlier, that as God's been good to us and faithful to us, over the years, God, we've taken our steps of faith to make sure that our giving is where it needs to be, not with just with our tithes, but with our offerings. Because God's been good to us, we want to steward that well. So is that true for you? Like, has your giving matched your prosperity, or as God has given to you or blessed you? Because a lot of times, we are so strongly tempted when we get a little bit more. You get a bonus or a raise or whatever it is, and when we are so tempted to sort of be grabbers and to think about what more we can get and do for ourselves. But here's the crazy thing about generosity. It can radically change your life. God wants to do so much in you and through you. And I want to tell you a story that's personal to Carrie and I in our lives. There was a season in my in our marriage where we had gone through a real financial bind. We found ourselves in a real financial bind. And we began to sort of feel the weight of that. And if you've been there, you know it's a miserable feeling. And worst of all, we were there because we had made some self-inflicted mistakes and wounds to get us there. And the weight of that, and then we began to actually wonder, would God provide for us? I'm a pastor thinking these things in my heart. Would God come through for us because we are the ones who have made the really poor decisions to get us here? And God did something miraculous in our life. No one else really knew what was going on, as far as I know. And then one day an envelope shows up. Isn't God good? An envelope shows up with an amount of money in it that didn't solve all of our problems, but it was a breathtaking moment for us that God was going to provide for us. But the coolest part of that is that God had first done a work in the life of another person through the act of generosity and their faithfulness to steward well that which God had given them had turned into an immense blessing in my life for my season of struggle. You remember what I said earlier? Two things you need to walk away with today. Number one is that God has so much more for you than greed can ever give you. And part of that is the pleasure and the sheer joy of giving. And the second thing for you to walk away with today is for sure is this. Greed is sneaky, and it might have a grip on you. And the sure way to attack it in your life is to step into intentional, regular generosity.